What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one platform for DJs to build their career online. Today, we have an amazing brother, DJ Prime. He's here. He's going to tell us his story about how he got into the DJ industry and how he's doing in it. So, brother, please introduce yourself. Tell the people where you're from and who you are.
How you doing, everybody? I'm from Astoria, Queens. I go by the name of DJ Prime. I started DJing back in 89 when I got my first set because of my cousins. I have like seven DJs that's in my family that live in Harlem. And one of my cousins just passed away, actually my mentor. So I got into it in 89 and my mother bought me my first set of 1200s and they cost about $500 back then, like almost 30 years ago, 500 each, and they're more expensive now. And I want to say I DJed from 89 to like 97 nonstop, doing like a lot of house parties, a lot of parties in schools and bars, and just doing like, you know, stuff in the house. And I stopped DJing around 97 and got into beat making, got into production, and did that for about 4 or 5 years. I'm still making beats and everything. And about 2002, I got back into DJing and I took up the turntablism. I started practicing the art of turntablism where we like manipulate the beats and, you know, do a lot of scratching, a lot of tricks, etc. And I got into a DJ battle in 2003 at Guitar Center in Long Island City, Queens. Came into first place, and that was only with like 3-4 months of practicing. And I met a lot of great DJs, like DJ Precision, a lot of DJs from the Executioners that I'm still in contact with. And I want to say I did that for about 2-3 years. And then I stopped completely. And 15 years later, I got back into it. So the thing I want to tell people the most about DJing, to me, it's therapeutic. It's like, I use that, it's like therapy for me. The thing that messed me up the most is I wasn't really humble. And I thought I knew everything because of, you know, DJing with like my friends and stuff. And I had friends telling me, yo, you don't need to learn that. We can do this and that. And I wanted to go the right way about it, because it's like, when you're playing the keyboard and you don't know scales and chords and things of that nature, it's best to learn it so you can, you know, better yourself. So I was just doing a lot of freestyling and I didn't really know much or whatever. So I want to say, like, to all inspiring DJs that's coming up, just be humble and try to learn as much as you can. If you got to go to school for it, if you got to pay for lessons for what you want to learn, it's good, because you can learn it on your own, but sometimes it's like key elements of learning how to scratch properly, mix properly, to be able to do it right. So when you're doing a party or if you enter a DJ battle or anything, you won't just be looking awkward or feeling awkward when you come across somebody that has like a high skill level and has practiced, that practice every day, you know? So I think my story is great because like I had a lot of ups and downs in it. And, you know, me coming back into it now is like the best ever, because we have like live streaming we can do. When I was into it, we could not DJ from my house. We DJed in front of our friends and things like that. We didn't have the internet. It wasn't really popping like that. So I think that's really great that you can, you know, DJ your sets. You can, you know, basically throw parties, virtual parties and things, and showcase your talent with all of these social media outlets. And that's why I got the call. And I think I really got back into it because of my cousin that passed away. I believe his spirit, you know, somehow contacted me and told me, you know, the best thing to do is to get back into something that you love, because I really love DJing. And I got back into it November 31st is when I bought my set that you see in the back. And I'm here to like stay this time, and I'm taking everything serious. I'm taking lessons, watching a lot of tutorials, just trying to sharpen my skills and doing what I didn't do before, and that was not being humble. You really have to be humble in anything you're doing, like, because there's somebody right now as I'm doing this interviewing that's practicing, that's been practicing for the last 13 hours for whatever you want to practice for, you know?
Yeah, man. No, that's super great to hear, man, to say this message and to tell people the importance of humility. You know, what are some of the things that you kind of suffered or were consequences for the fact that you lacked humility in those early stages? And now talk to me about like some of the things that have come to you now that you've learned the fact and the importance of humility.
Like, basically with that, I was very cocky and I was very, just, you know, thinking I know it all. And I don't really know where that came from. I think it's just something like It's a lot of people in my family like that, that, you know, we just think we know it all. And when I faced kind of the humility, it wasn't humility to me. I was embarrassed with myself when I entered the DJ battle. And mind you, when I had got back into it, I only practiced for about 2-3 months. And I got back into it, came into first place, was a little hyped and stuff. But then when I saw the competition that came, it just made me feel like I didn't want to do it no more. It was just so crazy. But they were so advanced. But one of the guys had already started talking about me in another DJ battle he was going to. So my name was already ringing bells. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, because I don't feel that I was up to par with any of my skills as far as what they were doing. And that's when I said I was totally lost and I didn't know certain scratches and certain mixes. And that's when I said I want to take it serious and go to school.
Awesome, man. No, that's an amazing story. And I'm glad that you share that with the people. And it's important to understand the importance of building relationships and how not being humble and not seeking help from others could really deter your ability to make it in the industry. You know, relationship building is super important, and all DJs and any business that you're doing, you need to focus on building relationships, because that's what's going to allow you to elevate in whatever you're doing. So I'm glad that you really learned that and are telling people the importance of it, whether they're new, just getting into the DJ game, or whether they're vets. Everyone needs to be humble and everyone needs to build relationships, because you're not going to make it far without other people in your circle.
That was my biggest mistake. That was one of my biggest mistakes, not being humble. And, you know, I learned my lesson from it, basically, because like everything I'm doing now, from me being humble now and learning to the art, have made me an incredible producer. You know, once you go, you know, I give my site at the end of the video, you can go to my page and see that I'm an incredible producer. And that came from me being humble, whatever. And I want to take that same energy with the DJing, which I'm going to do, you know?
Awesome, man. Speak it into existence, man. I'm definitely interested in helping you in that journey, man. And like I said, you know, this is a podcast that helps people that are interested in getting into DJs, and also people that are already in it but want to take their DJ skills to the next level. You know, you've shown that hard work and actually putting in the work to, you know, perfect the craft has been very useful for you to gain the success that you've gotten so far. What are some things that you were able to do to, you know, put yourself in the space to practice, or what's some of the resources that you utilize to improve your skills?
Well, right now I have a DJ by the name of DJ iRun that's from Germany. And I came across his page and I kind of linked with him and vibed with him so well. His skill level is just incredible. He's a two-time world champion in DMC. So he, I take lessons from him like once a week, and we go over basic elements of whatever I feel I need. Strengthening, beat juggling, scratching, we'll focus on that. I would definitely recommend you go to YouTube and type in whatever you want to learn, and you will be happy. YouTube is the best resource for those that, because it's expensive. It's very expensive as far as, you know, you're doing lessons, $100 can, you know, run you if you want to. It is all depends on how fast you want to learn and how much time you want to put in. But I would recommend going to YouTube and just type in whatever you feel your weakness is, and there will be a video on it, and it should take you to the next level, guaranteed.
Definitely, man. Utilizing free resources that are out there is a great way to level up your game. You know, YouTube, there's different tutorial videos out there that teach you certain skills that you need to do to perfect and improve your craft. And then you have to go out there and actually implement and try those things, because just watching the video is not going to get you a skill. You got to actually put in the time to actually perfecting the muscle memory of those skills. So definitely super great advice. I'm super happy to hear that. Now tell me a little bit about, you know, you've been in different parts of the DJ industry. You've been DJing events. You've been also producing. You know, what are some things that you love about being a DJ, and what are some things that we can see from you going forward?
The thing I love most about DJing is I come from a heavy music family. Like, you know, my father used to sing, and my uncles used to like play keyboards, and they used to like sing in groups, and one of my uncles used to sing in a lot of weddings. So I come from a strong music background. So what I love about DJing is that I'm a people person. I love people, and I love to see people happy off of something that I can generate. So when I'm doing parties, and just to see people get hyped, like I get chills. I'm getting chills talking about it now. And just to control people with music, control their feelings, I feel it's a gift. I feel like it's a godlike gift. And that's one of the things most I loved about DJing. And I would say the second thing most is like the challenge, because it's a challenge. Like what you said was so great about muscle memory. That is so important in everything. Even when you're working out, if you haven't did pull-ups in like 2-3 months, your muscles are not going to remember how to, you know, get the power up to do that. So it really makes sense what you say. When I first started again, I was totally off, my back spinning, my scratching, everything, my coordination, everything was off. And then when I really took time out and started focusing, everything's coming back now. Like I'm getting my speed is coming back, the coordination, everything. My mixes are even tighter right now. So that right there in itself is one of the things I love most about DJing. It's like, it's you can't even explain it. It's just a great thing. If you love music, you're gonna love the DJ.
No, that's amazing, man. And I think that DJs are super interesting people. I feel like that all DJs have some talent and skills that have been unwoken, and that using DJing as an avenue to share their skills and talent with other people in such a beautiful way. Because you got to think about the important role that DJs play in the lives of so many different people. Like DJs are the ones that curate the events for, you know, schools, for weddings, you know, for parties. And these are very important moments in people's lives, and DJs are able to be a part of that experience. So, you know, I commend all DJs. That's one of the reasons why I started this business. That's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because all DJs play an important role in the world. And we're trying to give DJs an opportunity to share that using the club, using this business that we're starting in the community of DJs that we're building. So super excited to get to know you. And, you know, I got a few more questions in regards to like your journey within the industry. You know, you've bounced back and forth from the DJ club side, the party side, to the producing side. You know, what are some advice that you have for the producing side? Because a lot of people on this podcast so far have been getting a lot of advice on the club side and the party side. But I want to hear a little bit about the producing side, because I see that you have some success in it.
Yes, the producing, what's crazy about that, I feel producing and DJing goes hand in hand. It really goes hand in hand. It's similar. It's not too far apart from, you know, like you playing baseball and then boxing. You know, that's kind of a total difference. But one of my favorite DJ/producer is DJ Premier. And I started really listening to him in like 89, and I've been so intrigued by his sound. And I'm a person that likes to, like, I like to be the left. I like to be the person that's going to use something that nobody thought about using. I feel with DJ Premier, his stuff is so unbelievable, the way he makes beats and things like that. So that's what got me into producing. After I started DJing and I was playing all Gangstar stuff, I always bought Gangstar albums. I was so mesmerized with what he was doing. And I got into beat making, and I saw that it was a little bit more easier than DJing, because with DJing, it's like there's no tracing paper. You know what I'm saying? You have to do everything, but remember everything. You can't make mistakes. You could cover up a lot with beat making. You could quantize if your beat is off. You could erase and start all over again and things like that. So I had a lot of success as far as like selling a lot of beats to underground artists and things like that. And that in itself is another story, another journey. But I could guarantee you, if you get into DJing somehow, you may find your way snooping into becoming a producer, because it goes hand in hand. And now, like the equipment they have now, you can make beats as you're DJing with the mixer. Like I've seen that, and I'm practicing doing that. Like I'm implicating my beats with, you know, the songs that's playing. Like I can like finger drum and stuff on the mix, and I think like that's incredible. So I would say if you're DJing, you know, try your hand at producing too, because you're going to be able to use it together. It won't hurt at all.
Awesome. That's great advice, man. Another thing I want to touch on is kind of the difference between seeing DJing as a hobby and a career, or something you can generate money from. You know, you spoke about, you know, DJing clubs, you spoke about selling, you know, tracks and beats. Like, what are some ways that DJs that currently see this as a hobby can transition to turn it into a business and making it something that can, you know, either supplement or even, you know, provide them, you know, their total income? You know, what are some ways that they can get started, or what's some advice you have about monetizing their skill as a DJ?
Nowadays, it's like, of course, it's a lot of DJs, and one thing is like the money wise, and that's where the competition is going to be, because you have some dudes that do a party for $200 or $150 and they'll use their phone or laptop, and then you have other DJs that, you know, won't take not less than $500 or $600. So my thing is, you have to ask yourself, what do you really want to do? As far as, do you want to just do it as a hobby, or do you want to do it to the point where you're doing parties like every week? You want to get yourself in the bar. I think the best thing, like what I did, I was able, like, people knew of me and heard of me, so I was able to get a spot in a bar that was, you know, operational like 5-6 days a week, and I would DJ in there Friday and Saturdays. And I think, like, that's almost the best route to go for a DJ. You know, go around to a lot of clubs and stuff, and, you know, a lot of bars, even though we're going through tough times right now, so, you know, things are just getting back. But when things get back, the best thing to do is, like, go to a few bars or whatever, ask if they need a DJ. Even tell them, like, yo, I'll play here for free tonight just to show you that, you know, I'm good at what I'm doing. And after that, hopefully you can negotiate some kind of, you know, compensation for your time being there. I think that's what the route I took. I can't really speak on things that I haven't took. I took that route, it worked out for me. And when I did that, you know, there was other people that's like, yo, I got a wedding coming up, or I have a sweet 16, or I have a prom. So you're gonna meet people and you're gonna be able to have other business opportunities. And that happened to me a lot. Like I did plenty of weddings and plenty of barbecues and things, sweet 16s from just being in that bar every Friday and Saturday. And where it's at now, I just would say you have to really go hard. You have to kind of stand out when it comes to like DJing online, because on Mixcloud is a site that I see a lot of people got their pages monetized and they're getting money for what they're doing. And they have like tremendous amount of followers, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 followers. I feel like if you get anywhere from 300 followers or more, you can, you know, do shows on your streaming network to where you can charge, you know, a price for a show that you're doing. I'm looking into that now. This is very new to me, the online DJing. So far, I'm having success with it. I did a show not too long ago, and I had 80 people watching, and it just blew my mind. Because, like I said, I come from everywhere that did not exist. We have to invite the friends upstairs. They'll come to the room and play music for you all, party, to have that opportunity. So that's something that I'm really, really looking forward to, you know, getting deep into. That's awesome, why I'm Clubhouse thing, I just jumped on it, no questions asked. I was just filling out as I was going, you know.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thank you, bro. And yeah, we're super excited with live streaming and what we believe can happen with the club. You know, we definitely see that DJs can create an experience online through live streaming that's super amazing. And we want to build technology that's going to enable DJs to, one, serve their audiences and host amazing virtual parties, but two, turn it into something that's going to make them money. So we have that built in, and we have a lot of things coming. So super excited that I get to know you now while we're building this. And we encourage all DJs, if you're listening, to join our community. You know, we want to build a strong community of DJs supporting one another and hosting the most amazing parties on the internet. And that's what we're doing at the club. So thank you for your time, man. Let's jump right into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
My DJ setup, as you see in the back, I have Rain 12s. That's a controller. No needles, as you can see. It's just everything. It's just no needles. I have a mixer. Is the MK2, the Rain 72 MK2. And I have a MacBook Pro, and I use DJ Serato Pro to play my music, basically.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Favorite DJ slash producer is DJ Premier. Favorite turntablist DJ would have to be Rock Raider, rest in peace, from the Executioners.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
One of my favorite parties, I did this party in Queensbridge in a bar called The Rack. And the reason why it's one of my favorites, it was in 2005. I just bought my setup and I only had about 120 songs in my computer, and I told my friend that, and he insisted that I do it, and I told him I don't want to do it, I don't think I'm gonna do well. I was doubting myself, and the party ended up being one of the greatest parties I ever threw in my life, and from that party I got a gig.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
I would have to say DJ Precision from the Executioners.
What's one thing you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
When I contact people and people call me and they say your video is jumping, and then I have to go back into the settings and change things. So that's my most worry as far as the visual and the audio. That's the most thing that I've, you know, send me on edge.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
Shout out to DJ Precision from The Executioners, over a 5-time world champion. He's a great turntablist. Definitely should. He got a great story behind him. Of course, DJ Rob Swift from The Executioners. One of my close friends, DJ Legend, that lives in Queens, Astoria. He has a great story. And shout out to DJ Juice from Astoria. Great party DJ. That's just an amazing DJ. Great energy and everything.
Awesome. I hope to hear their amazing stories, man. And where can people find you online or in person if you're still doing events?
Okay, so right now, I'm on Mixcloud. That'll be mixcloud.com/DJPrime810. I'm on there. You can see a lot of my live streaming. When I go live, there's a lot of recordings that I have on there for my show that I did. You can also catch me on Instagram at Prime Entertainment. That's with two I's. So it's Prime, two I's, _ Entertainment on Instagram. And on Facebook is my government name, Eugene Fickens, at Facebook.com.
Awesome, brother. Hey, this was an amazing interview for the My DJ Story podcast. Everyone, please download the club. Everyone, please check out DJ Prime. He'll be on there as well. And yeah, this has been great, man. I really appreciate your time. Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.